Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
8 o'clock hour on the Thursday edition. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, Sean Sharif. RJ Choppy and Bobby Belt, the playmaker Michael Irvin, is coming up at 8:20, usually 8:40 Wednesdays, but Mike got snowed in. We'll ask him where he got stuck. Michael coming up next, and then DeMarcus Ware, the future Hall of Famer, at 9 a.m. Tony Romo and Tom Brady fallout after Tom's retirement yesterday. I guess I didn't get this initially, but the internet said it was stone cold, and my wife is the one who said, did you see what Giselle said to Brady in the retirement post? Did you see what she said? And I was like, yeah, she wished him well. And she goes, no. You got to look deeper into it. She said, wishing you wonderful things in this new chapter of your life. And I was like, okay, what's the big deal? I don't get it. She's like, the new chapter? Like, the one that you didn't want to be a part of with me? So now wishing you luck moving forward in the next chapter? So it didn't hit me initially, but the internet and my wife said, Choppy, stone cold Giselle right there, sticking the knife in Tom's retirement.
Man, I didn't see that at all. I didn't pick up on that one bit. To me, I was like, my first thought was, man, you know what? Maybe he retired to get his marriage back. You know, it makes no sense to ruin your marriage just to play one more year of football. Okay, that's one of the most, that's very bad. It's very bad efficiency there, Tom, on that one.
You don't want to support me. You don't support what I love. You don't want to support my dreams.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You know, but it's a give and take, right?
And maybe he didn't think she'd ultimately do it.
Maybe he didn't. And now that she did, maybe he's got a little, it's whatever this form of buyer's remorse is, but the regret of all this, perhaps he is regretting this, and maybe he is. Because the reports were that he was traumatized by this year and exhausted. And maybe he's like, hey, you know what? That was a mistake. Let's try it out. Maybe they do it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they say it's too late.
We're all acting like it was that one thing that caused them to get divorced, that it was Tom going back to play football. Like, chances are they had another issue or two, or maybe arguing over him just going to play football or not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they did. Now, maybe this was like
the straw
that broke the back, you know, or whatever the phrase is. Maybe that's what it was. This was the one that put it over the edge. Like they could get by, you know. Maybe once he retired, everything would be fine. But when he decided to go back and play, it was like, okay, dude, we're done here.
So
maybe this was the problem. Maybe it was Antonio Brown. It's very possible that this is what was actually the issue, was Antonio Brown and his and Giselle's close relationship. I got to say, the fact that this explains so much about men versus women, by the way. The way that Amanda read this, and you read this, and Choppy and I read this, and how, I guess, women would look at it and go like, oh my gosh, do you see, she just wants to kill him. And we're all like, what are you... She's wishing him well. What are you talking about?
Right.
I think this is a great microcosm to explain the differences between us.
Absolutely agree. Choppy, the best media insider there is, Andrew Marchand, telling us what's going to happen now with Brady and broadcasting and whether Greg Olsen is going to get bumped.
Yep, he is. You know, so he has a 10-year, $375 million deal with Fox. To be its number, I mean, that's just, I mean, was it Aaron Judge?
Is that as much as he made just salary wise in his career? I thought I read that somewhere, 375, something like that.
Yeah, I think he made 330 is what I saw yesterday, and 500 when you factor in endorsements and off the field stuff.
Wow.
So that's to be its number one game analyst alongside Kevin Burkhardt. So Greg Olsen, meanwhile, has done a tremendous job, and they have the Super Bowl. So Andrew Marchand is speculating, you know, what happens if he throws a four-touchdown game version of a broadcast in front of 100 million people in the audience? Like, are they really going to say, okay, Tom, here you go. Greg, you're back down to the number two spot. Would they, you know, would Brady go for a gap year? You know, take a year off and then go and see what happens there. Or would they do a three-man booth, which is, you know, which they could do. A couple of things to throw into the wrench. So all indications are that the network is not going to put Tom on the Super Bowl this year. There was talks about that.
Yeah.
Maybe we just throw him in. But they're saying that's going to be unwise to throw a three-man booth in who's never worked together before for the first time with 120 million people watching. And if Tom stinks, it's just going to create more questions as to why they would replace Greg Olsen with him.
You cannot put – no way he's in the booth for the game. You cannot do that. I thought Dan Patrick came up with the best idea. He is always – he's a broadcast nerd like we are. I think people on the station have gone to the Dan Patrick School of Broadcasting, or Tolos have. He said you put Tom on some aspects of the pregame, right? It's going to be a – Michael will tell us. It's going to be a 13-hour pregame show on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You put him in the film room. You have him do a little breakdown. Just say whatever you're comfortable with. Do a Peyton breakdown, right, of the film, a Kobe detail. How do you attack the Eagles defense? How do you attack the Chiefs defense? And you introduce him that way, and you sprinkle him into some facets of your pregame show. You do not and you cannot put him in the broadcast booth. No,
I totally agree. You can't do it this. You can't do it next week. In that game, you put him on the pregame show. You put him, you know, maybe on the sideline, given a halftime.
Like Saban for the national championship stuff.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Now, what does this mean for Greg Olsen, though? Greg Olsen's making $10 million a year this year.
Ten.
Man.
When he, if Brady decides that he's going to continue on with this, you know, broadcast and idea and take the job, Olsen gets slotted to the two spot. His salary goes from $10 million to $3
million. Ooh.
Which, by the way, I didn't realize the number two made $3 million over there to do the games. So, like Moose? Woo-hoo-hoo. Man.
I don't know that necessarily means the number two makes $3 million. That just might be like, yo, I was the one. If I get bumped down, I still need to be making money. I'm not going to go from 10 to 500K.
Right. Now, there's also a clause in Greg Olsen's contract.
I love this.
If he gets bumped to number two and a number one job, number one seat, chair, whatever you want to call it, becomes available, he is allowed to leave for that job.
Ooh.
So, if Kirk Herbstreit says, I don't want to do the NFL anymore, I'm spread too thin, or if, you know, Tony Romo truly is bored out of his mind and is like, you know what, this has been fun. I want to go hang out with Candace and the family. If Chris Collinsworth is like, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I got my PFF thing I'm going to go take on. Then he can jump to one of those jobs, and he would end up being this generation's Collinsworth, which is a long announcing career, having never played the quarterback position, or as Andrew writes, or played for the Cowboys, or played in New York.
Right. All right, so there it is, the latest on Tom Brady and Greg Olsen. Bobby, how and why are people coming for your guy, Tony Romo?
Yeah, this has been a slow build, I felt like, on social media over the last year or so. Of course, we remember there was the little bit of questioning from Dick Ebersol over the fall, where he's like, man, I'd work on a few aspects with him here, and then immediately had to come back and go, I'm kidding. You know, that was taken out of context as soon as I think some people came through and said, hey, don't Don't talk bad about Roma like that. But the it's come to really a head recently. There were about five articles, I think, this week that were taking on the Romo collapse as an analyst. And the biggest one, the most prominent one, is from Michael McCarthy, not that McCarthy, over at Front Office Sports, who his headline is, "What's wrong with Tony Romo? Why might he be regressing?" Mm. And it's got a brutal line right early in the article. "The clairvoyant Romo Stradamus of previous seasons was mostly missing in action for the AFC Championship game. Instead, viewers got an over-caffeinated, sometimes confused cheerleader." The game was, quote, outstanding, according to Romo. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes was a, quote, wizard committing wizardry. The receivers ran perfect routes. There was even speculation Romo was on the verge of uttering a slur that could have endangered his broadcasting career, all of which we talked about, all of which we noted. And in the line there, he says, "Enthusiasm is great, but it doesn't make up for garbled analysis. The reviews of the former TV Golden Boy were withering this weekend." And it was. You had, awful announcing going off at him. BSM, Barrett Sports Media, Front Office Sports. Just a bunch of different, criticisms coming through. And I think everybody just feels like the predictive nature that made you so good is gone. It's been replaced with almost like kind of a parody. It does. It feels like an SNL parody of early Romo, the current Romo we have in the booth, where there's just a lot of excitement and sometimes some confusion, calling second down, third down, having this happen, that happen. And so I think what you're just seeing is this is the natural outpouring of a guy who initially was 1 year out of the league, and now he's 5 years out of the league, and he just doesn't have the same grasp on tendencies and stuff. And so now you're just seeing a weaker approach.
I have a couple different theories. Number one, in terms of that, I think that the RJ Choppy and the Brian Billicks of the world ruined this for me. They put the hate on him doing the X's and O's and the predicting. They had to ruin something unique and all the fun. And I think more so that caused Romo to go into a cave with it more than he doesn't study, right? There's been accusations of laziness. He shows up and just tries it that day. I think he has made a concerted effort not to call it out or predict it because people made fun of him or had a problem with it. That's my theory, number one. So I blame RJ for that.
Okay.
Number two, RJ, Romo's, I think Romo thinks that his giddiness catches on to the rest of us when we roll our eyes. I think he's made a mistake with his energy level. So when he does the,
Jim.
We're not like, oh my God, he loves the game more than any of us. That's what he thinks he's conveying. We're rolling your eyes and making fun of it. It's cheesy. Like, tone it down a little bit. When he goes to that level, that octave, it also seems like he gets lost. So he scrambles a little bit. He needs to come up with some phrases, some pre-scripted stuff. A phrase, something to say that he knows he's going to versus the wizard is the wizardry. Because when you make a mistake, ask Jason Witten, who came on and talked to us about this. When you make one mistake like that, you're going to get tormented, called out, and made fun of. And yeah. I think Tony thinks his unmatched, unbridled enthusiasm and love for the game can make up for getting lost in his statements or catchphrases that announcers need. So those, and then the other aspect of this, we're just a miserable group of people in this country, and we're going to start hating you eventually. You have to be a rare individual. Greg Olson, same thing. Give it a little bit of time, and people will think that Greg Olson is a homer for certain people, and Greg Olson does this, and Greg Olson does that, and that's the way we turn on people in society. Those are my theories.
You're not wrong. We do that. We do that mostly on Twitter, and as Dave Chappelle says, Twitter's not a real place. Because how you act on Twitter is not necessarily how you act anywhere else in society. But you have that freedom, that ability in 140 characters or whatever Elon's made it now, to say whatever you want, whenever you want. Everybody has their own platform now. It's a different world. We are miserable, and Tony did, whenever you're on top, we're going to tear Mahomes down at some point, and we're going to tear Joe Burrow down at some point. We tear them all down, man. Every single one of them. Nobody cannot be torn down when you reach a certain level.
All right, DeMarcus Ware's coming up at 9. Let's talk to the playmaker about this. What's his broadcasting responsibility? And where did Michael Irvin get stuck with the snow? One of our whales, the playmaker, Michael Irvin, is next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, it is now time to catch up with our boy, the playmaker, Odyssey NFL insider Michael Irvin. Insider calls are brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Good morning, Mike. Where did you get stuck? How's the weather been treating you the past few days?
Hey, Carl, come on, man. I finally made it back here, man, but this weather's been insane. All around here, man, and even now looking outside, you know, I was so looking forward to having this week home, working out all week, you know, getting ready for the Super Bowl, just like I always did. But of course, that was not to be. You know, you got here and everything shut down. Also, though, let me tell you something. Also, you know how many people see what we do and see how we shut down and be like, "What's wrong with you guys?"
Yeah.
This is nothing. This is nothing in New York. This is every day. They do this every day in New York. You shut down the whole city for this ice, and yeah, that's what we do here.
Yeah, we look soft. It makes us look soft.
Or careful.
That's a generous way to say it.
Yeah, that's the way to say it. We you know, we don't want to be sliding around out there. Just messing around. See, we don't practice driving in this stuff. When I first went to ESPN, I remember getting off the plane, saying, "Man, I done made it. I ain't doing no best during sports show no more. I'm doing ESPN, Chris Berman, and all of those guys." So I got off, right? I got off the plane. I was standing there. Where's my driver? Where's my guy? Who's going to get those bags for me? And I called. I said, "Man, you guys forgot the driver?" They said, "Oh, no. We forgot the driver." I said, "Get your bag and go over to that rental car place and get a rental car." I said, "Man, I left Fox. I left Fox for this. I got a rental car. I'm in Connecticut." And, dude, it was that was the first time I ever driven this. I ain't never been so scared in my life. I was driving 2 miles an hour. And them people in Connecticut was driving 55 miles on this ice like it ain't nothing new. I said, "God." Because they're used to it, man. We just not used to it. We're not used to it.
Now, the way we prove our toughness is the Texas summers. So
heat,
we deal with the heat, but then when it comes to this, right, we're looking a little soft. So Mike, your take on some of the Cowboys offseason stuff. Let's start off with Mike McCarthy taking over the play calling for Kellen Moore. What do you think about this?
I don't know. This was interesting to me. You know, and hearing McCarthy talk about the difference in the offense, that we're not using the Jason Garrett offense. You know, of course, we kept things similar in terminology, similar, but we've been doing what we do. So, you know, I was like, that's interesting. And listen, Kellen Moore, the last couple of years with Dak Prescott, Kellen Moore put up basically with Dak the number one offense, you know, back to back. So if you think that's improving, I could buy that. If you say, okay, we're going to improve, we're going to let Mike McCarthy, since he's done this all the way to a Super Bowl, Kellen Moore only did it to a divisional round playoff, then okay, you want to say that's improvement, I'll take it. I'll take that, but I better see something with it. Let me see your father did this divisional round so I don't got to go get killed on TV all the time.
Mike, is, you know, changing the play caller is one thing, but for an offense that has been so potent, you know, and they're in the top three last year and, like, you know, last 2 years basically in every category, is it wise to do a full-on scheme change? And how difficult is that for a quarterback?
Well, they're not doing a scheme change. They're not. That's what I was saying. He said that hey, listen, we this is not a scheme change. We haven't run Jason Garrett's offense. We've been running our offense, you know, and they kept some of the terminology the same. But hey, listen, if this dude can get us over that hump, when we stay out in San Francisco, I know that's a good defense. I understand all of that. But there was something that I saw Nick Sirianni, Nick do from Philadelphia that I was wishing we did. And somehow, in some of the ways how he influenced the linebackers in the run game, they had some big holes to run in. We didn't necessarily do some of that.
Michael, you know, while it hasn't been exactly Jason Garrett's offense, like, you can still see some in the last couple of years, you could still see some Eric Coryell stuff in there mixing with the, like, traditional West Coast offense. If McCarthy is committed to going full West Coast offense, you know, big on timing and precision, is that the wisest move right now, given that we're coming off a season where we were talking a lot about, man, the chemistry between Dak and the receivers and the timing seems to be off? Is it smart to go into basically a full timing-based offense?
Well, As I said, I don't think he's changing the whole offense. He's he's saying that they've amalgamized his offense and made it, you know, they've taken one in the other and made it one offense, and that's what they've been using. You know, I don't necessarily say, I don't see the influence of the movement like we see with the 49ers. Like we see with Philadelphia, like you know what I mean, those kinds of teams, they got their influence movement, all of that movement that confuses you and makes you go one way. It's not even about blocking you sometimes. It's about the eye candy that you get to watch with all this movement that you're out of position sometimes to make those plays. That's what the West Coast offense does. Now, the old timing offense says, line them up, I'm going to bust your butt in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna drop back three steps, let the ball go early on time. We're gonna hand this ball up, and this man, old man, coming downhill. That's the difference. I believe that the timing offense that we have is a more physical offense, where the West Coast offense it becomes a little bit more decoration and all of that stuff is not as physical.
Michael Irvin here on the Diamond Factory Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. What else is on your offseason checklist, Mike? What else do the Dallas Cowboys need to be playing in this game next week?
Dallas needed. We need a little more help at wide receiver. You know, that was the killer for us this year. You know, make no mistakes about it. And I appreciate all the hard work that Noah Brown and all those guys put in. They put in some work. But at times, just like the interception Ward got in that playoff game, at times it was just like, okay, let's just focus on 88. Let's keep somebody around 88. And that became how they got Dak on some of those interceptions. Because, you know, Dak, he's more comfortable going to CD. And I totally understand that. And I wish Cowboys would have signed T.Y. earlier and not mess around with that Odell Beckham thing so long. This year, this could have been a little bit of a different year, maybe.
Michael, what is your initial read on the Super Bowl? Who are you liking or favoring in this game, and why?
And this is an interesting game because Patrick Mahomes throws a lot of things out the window. And I understand everybody talking about the ankle. Hey, the performance he put on last week, but he'll be better than he was last week. So if he played like that on one leg, he'll have one and a half in the Super Bowl, if not on both of them, and he's going to be dangerous. But the one thing that no matter what, and I always say this, guy, the best quality and the best thing to have in football is physicalness. And that's what Philadelphia has. And that's exactly what disturbs the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw it in the Super Bowl against Tampa when they got to Patrick Mahomes and it would be a physical run to football. We saw it when Cincinnati beat them. With the times that Cincinnati beat them, you know, you could be physical and you control this football, you got a chance at beating Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
You know, Michael, jump back real quick to you saying, like, you know, the another receiver coming in here is a big thing for you for the Cowboys this year. Is there a type you're looking for? Like, is there somebody you think, like a certain style of receiver that you think needs to come in here to complement CD? Or do you think it's just, hey, just go find me a talented receiver, period. I don't care how he gets it done.
Well, I would like a certain type because I love diversity at the position, you know. He's not the biggest dude. I wouldn't mind us going to find us a big dude and a speed dude. I mean a real speed dude. A real speed dude like they have. You know, one of them guys that get on top and sometimes just knock people off. I remember we had, like, you know, we had Ace one time. Ace, you know, Ace was a pretty good receiver, man, but he had some speed, like out of this world speed. So every time we got to play people like Deion Sanders or somebody, and they had to check to make sure. So they had to play eight because they can run. They had to put the best. They put some guys on eight. You know, let me try to put Deion on Alexander since he's running. And we just ran him on deep routes. We ain't throwing one ball. I caught 12 balls for 150 yards on Tim McIver. Deion kept running. I said, Michael. Boy, y'all really tricking us now, ain't it? This is missed. Y'all ain't going to throw this one no ball. Why am I running? You know, we just ran him on the track meet. Why I killed Tim McIver. It was, you know, you can do stuff like that because speed scares people. Even if you ain't throwing the ball to that dude, somebody has to cover him because he's running by everybody.
Michael Irvin joining us here on 105 through the Fan. Kellen in L.A., how potent do you think that offense could be?
I love it, guys. I loved it. I loved that. Because if you remember, you know, his first year, he was in this offense. He was in this kind of offense with Anthony Lynn. And I thought that's when he was really taking off. And then, of course, they changed it up. So for him to go back to this offense, that Curiel offense, inch with the Chargers, you know, that's where it all started. I thought that was great, a great move for the Chargers. And honestly, guys, I'm going to just say this, because when it first happened, I said, wait a minute. When they first let Kellen Moore go, I said, let me be real. It wasn't just Kellen Moore. When it first happened, they let Leon Lett, all of them go. I called Big Fella. I said, wait a minute. Big Fella ain't the darn reason we lost. How y'all going? Why you letting him go? What's going on? Because I was a little confused. All right, is this about Mike McCarthy? Wanting to call the plays, or is this about Mike McCarthy wanting to get some more of his guys in here and all of that stuff? And I'm a little leery of that after that Dick Nolan experience. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Hey, we ain't got time to go through another one of those with that Dick Nolan experience, that Oprah Winfrey defense. You get 300 yards rushing. You want 300 rushing? You get it. Everybody get it. We can't have that again.
Mike, I remember real quick, you know, when Parcells was here, like a lot of the former Cowboys, he started bringing in all these ex-Giants into the coaching staff.
Oh, I had a problem with that.
Yeah. You know, do you think there needs to be a lot of former Cowboys on this coaching staff just to kind of give an idea of what it's like here?
I think connectivity is important. I really do. I think connectivity is important. So one thing, Rich, God bless him. Rich, I've been with Rich Delra for a long time at the University of Miami, and when he was here, and I was telling them, those guys, I said, man, I remember walking around when all these other guys around here, the Drew Pearsons and all that stuff, was doing some media, and they used to call to try to get us to do interviews, and Rich used to always say to me, you know, and I know people say all about Rich, whatever. But Rich would always say to me, Michael, just like he said, you're here now in Dallas. Dallas is it's just great tradition, this great brand. He said, people before you built it. He said, you got to honor that always, you know. And I believe that. He was so right in that. And the way our offensive line would honor what Tom Landry did by, you know, going to come stand at the line, at the offensive line position, standing up, going back down. That's honoring the people before you. So Rich was always about that, and he produced that, and I'm sure that's what he told me, Emmett, Detroit, all the time. So we wanted to honor that. I think that matters. You should be connected to your history. It's like I said on TV, the dudes before me, when they played, they left a championship on the table. They built it by leaving a championship on the table. And they handed it to you to run with for the football. They handed it to you to run with the football for a moment. Your job is to reciprocate. Every relationship must be built on reciprocation. Anybody giving, and not receiving, is going to get the hell out of that relationship. And they should get out of that relationship. So you're supposed to reciprocate. They left championship on the table. Put your championship on the table. And that's what I want to see these guys do. Put that damn championship on the table and stop playing this divisional round stuff.
What's your Super Bowl schedule?
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. I'll go out here. I'll leave here Saturday or Sunday to go out to Arizona, man, right back to that old Super Bowl. I just knew we won this year because that's where we had our last Super Bowl. All the things were lined up right this year, man, except that other wide receiver. But yeah, I'll go out Sunday, and then, of course, I'll do First Take out there Monday, and then the whole week start, you know, then opening night, Monday night. You know, so I'll be working both networks out there, going back and forth, well, all three of them, CBS, Inside, NFL, too. So I'll have a pretty busy schedule. But it's Super Bowl. That's fine. It's usually always busy.
All right. Hopefully we get to see you out there. Apple.
Are you guys going? Wait. Are you guys going?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. We'll be there on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Y'all in Radio Row. Oh, so y'all on Radio Row?
We'll be on Radio Row. But you know we're going to be out every night, too.
Yeah, well, everybody ain't got to know that. That's axiomatic. That means self-evident. We know that. I just set them up pretty here. I'm going to be pretty busy working. Now you going to know we're going to be in the street. We just come up.
Yeah, we don't want you on Radio Row. We want you we want you at the bar.
Oh, yeah. We're going to definitely hit it. We're going to hit it. Y'all good. Y'all come out. Y'all my hall pass. No, man, I got a lot of work.
Right.
I wouldn't usually go anywhere, but these my boys from Dallas, man. I'm going to just go hang out with them a little bit.
Yeah. we're the hall passes. Hey, awesome as always. Safe travels. We'll see you out there. Thank you for the gold, as always, Mike.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, man, because yeah, I'm going to hit Radio Row. I'm going to come to Radio Row Wednesday, okay. Thursday, because those are days that it really crank up.
Yeah.
That Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it gets out of hand. It's the most fun thing because you see everybody in the business. You know what I mean? It's great work, but it's also fun to see everybody again.
Yes.
When the old Radio Row, we had everybody there. And people just walk around and say, hey, man, come on, hop on the radio with me. You get guests that you weren't planning on getting, and they're some of the best guests.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. The best. The Odyssey NFL Insider. Michael Irvin, brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. DeMarcus Ware at 9. It's time for all of us to reassess our lives after being snowed in the past few days. Let's see if these things are on your new checklist next. The future Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, will join us at 9. That right after we just had Michael Irvin, the playmaker, here on the Diamond Factory Hotline here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And Bobby Bell wears the patented weather map for the future forecast today to get us back in studio tomorrow. No microphone. I'm not hearing it.
Oh, sorry. There we go. I hit the mute button like a moron. Let's get the weather map up here. It's starting to clear out a little bit. I know around 9 a.m. today, here in just about 12 minutes, we should start getting the full meltdown. But as you can see back here, it's starting to clear up behind you there in Fort Worth, Choppy. Looking good. Looking good. In fact, look, you can tell it's starting to warm up because this is not it's green. And so if it was not green, you would know that it was too cold. So there's our indication. We always say in the weather industry, if it's green, go. If it's pink, stay at home. That's what we have always said. So Dallas, you can see a little bit of that pink stuff, which I'm not totally sure if it's sleet or freezing rain or just – I just know it's not safe. So don't drive out there if that's on your map. But pretty soon, I think we'll see this push off to the east, and we should be clear and good to go. Back to you in the newsroom, Sean.
Real quick, Sean, one down thing here I'm seeing. It is going to peak at 35 today on my map in Roanoke, right here, with rain until 5 o'clock. The problem, though, lies that at 11, it dips below freezing again, and it gets down to 28 at 4 a.m.
Here we go.
I'm just saying.
Last gasp effort for Choppy to make. Look, Fort Worth is clearly thawing out earliest.
It's clearly it's no precipitation. White. But when all this melts and it gets to 28 degrees at 3 a.m., guess who's not getting out of their driveway?
Okay.
Bill Murray.
Have Bill the Murray nephew's 4x4 take you. You'll be fine. You're like up here somewhere, and you're clear, man.
Yeah, you're right. No rain. No rain. No rain now, but there will be.
Like blind melon. No rain.
There's the latest weather update from Bobby Belt. Bobby said someone is experimenting, by the way, with a four-day. Is it a four-day schedule? We had one school that Choppy talked about a few days ago. Bobby, who else is talking about it?
Yeah, this is going to be right up Choppy's alley. We've got the state of Maryland, Chop. Is now trying to introduce. Yeah, you came through. You came through, Sean.
That's my state.
The state of Maryland is trying to introduce the four-day work week. So the idea of this, they say, is that they're going to try and pass this bill that would incentivize companies to switch to a four-day work week, allowing employees to work 32 hours instead of 40. So this is not 40 spread over 4 days without seeing any pay cut or loss of benefits. The bill would entice... The bill would entice public and private employers to switch over to a four-day work week by offering a state tax credit when they participate in a pilot program. You go.
Love it.
Yeah, now, that's the thing. You're going to have to still – we're going to have to still work – you got to work 40 hours a week. Otherwise, it's going to get subsidized by everybody else. I'm out. I'm not paying for people to sit at home.
Oh, so you're out. You know more. You're out.
I'm in if you still work 40 hours a week, but if the state has to subsidize the companies for paying them the same amount of money but working less, that means it's going to raise our property taxes or whatever, our taxes in general. I'm out.
Spittle just said, happy to get you a hotel tonight, Chop. See you tomorrow in studio. Man, they hate when we do the shows from home. They hate it.
I know.
So there you go. You can take Peyton's room. I'm sure he washed the covers across the street. So now that we're all sitting here kind of reevaluating, right? You're thinking back to pandemic days and you're thinking about your kids in the home and being trapped. What about that to-do list? What about that updated checklist for all of our lives?
Well, this was a survey done. Over 2,000 people responded to this survey, or 2,200. Revealed that 60% of people do not believe there are enough hours in the day to get everything done. This is not just work. This is the stuff you do beyond work. You get done with work, and let's just say the normal person gets done at 5 o'clock with traffic, they're home by 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
Dinner time, you got to go to bed at some point. You're left with 2 hours. The last thing you do when you get home is literally anything around the house. You don't want to do that. You want to relax.
Yep.
So people need extra time in the day. What would they do with that time? 34% would knock out more chores. 20% would be completely lazy and get extra sleep. That's key. But what is on the to-do lists of most of these people? By the way, most people say between the hours of 3 and 4, that is when they feel the least energetic of the day. Mm. The least amount of energy.
Because you see the window. You see the 5 o'clock work window, and you're like, done. I'm ready to mail this in. I'm out.
You get antsy. You get a little anxiety maybe rolled in there. You know, I know like when I'm like rounding out near the end of like sending you guys my email and I'm getting stuff together for the previous day, like my legs start really jittery bouncing. I'm like a dog who knows that like, you know, the master's at the door and all of a sudden here's the leash, okay? And I'm going to go, I'm going to get to run and do stuff. But 33% housework is number one. Preparing for events like holidays and family visits, tackling bills. People say they got to do financial responsibilities, a side hustle. I mean, I am stunned. 26% said they would take their energy towards environmental concerns. I was stunned that that's what they would take their time. Traveling, family, taking care of my own personal health, politics. These are all some of the things that people said out there, what they would do with those extra 4 hours.
Well, I guess that's the good thing about our hours. Like, we have all day for that stuff.
Right. I mean, we could, like, if we have to go get our oil change, we can go up to the show. I mean, we get some work. We can have our computers with us. You know, we could work from there. We could do whatever we need to do. But, yeah, we have that time. We got to go to a doctor's appointment. We could do that.
Like, we always ask, what hours would you like the most on the show? Troy always said he wanted the morning hours. And I'm like, no, the morning hours are the worst. So what do you think, RJ, if you could pick any time slot real quick before D-Ware, what would it be now?
This one. Oh. I would still do this one. You can't do anything when you have the midday slot. And then the evening slot, I get home too late. I would hate that. I would hate that one, the afternoon show.
The future Hall of Famer DeMarcus Ware joins us on Sean, RJ, and Bobby next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.